Hi, welcome to the DeviantArt Podcast. My name is Matt Buholtz, and today we are joined by Ronaldo Quintero.
Yeah, that's right.
Did I get close?
Yeah, that was good.
Okay,
yeah.
I tried. You may know him as Rake, and he has been on DeviantArt for 16 years.
Yeah, feels like yesterday.
Just a flash in the pan.
Yeah, 16 years.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, people have obviously seen your work all over the internet. Gorgeous, bright colors, beautiful characters, stunning work. But to get things started off today, I'm going to do some rapid-fire questions to get us ready for a podcast.
All right, I'll try my best.
Okay.
I'm kind of slow sometimes.
These are top. You're just pacing it out. Lightning round.
All right.
Okay, favorite movie?
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. Okay, complete the sentence. Peanut butter and?
BoJack Horseman.
Do you like pineapple on pizza?
Sometime.
Who would you cast as you in your autobiography?
Michael Keaton.
That's a great choice. If you could have one superpower?
Read minds.
What color is your toothbrush?
Blue.
Football or soccer?
Soccer?
Football?
Yeah.
Least favorite food?
Shrimp.
Now that we know a little bit about you,
mm-hmm.
maybe everything from that.
Yeah, that's it.
I want to talk about your artistic journey.
Of course.
From the very beginning to now.
All right, well, that's going to be a long thing to tell.
We got a lot of time.
Yeah, well, I'm from Venezuela. I was, an inspiring artist. I wouldn't say from very young, but I was into cartoon comics and all that, watching a lot of like TV shows. I wanted to be an illustrator or an artist when I found about comics, about the X-Men specifically in Venezuela. I found a comic book store, the only one, I think in the whole country, but there was like two comic book stores, and I had one really close to my house, and I found the X-Men, and I fell in love with it. I used to draw in the school, you know, was one of the things that made me survive. The school years, because people want you to draw things. I will draw Ren and Stimpy, Beavis and Butthead, and people will ask me to draw things in the wall of the school, and I will get into trouble all the time, like draw like Bart Simpson, but it was with chalk, so that was fine. But that was kind of like the thing that helped me survive and be cool, you know? Didn't want to be the part of the nerds. I was always in the middle ground, so I survived there like a turtle, like surviving, trying to survive. And then I got really involved into it just because I wanted to draw and have fun with it. One of my motivations is because of the lack of resources in my country in terms of comic culture. It was I wanted to have posters of the X-Men, of the comics that I like. And I wanted to have those, but nobody was selling those. So I decided to draw my own poster. I will grab a big sheet of paper and I will draw the characters or just copying one of the images that I will find in the Wizard magazine, and I would just draw that and, you know, make it like 3 or 4 times bigger than the original. I just put that in my wall. Every day I'll try to complete a drawing and put it on the wall of my room. So I was making my own posters just for me. And I was like, as many people, it's just like, oh, that would be something cool to be an artist, to work for Marvel, to do these drawings and do these things. But being in Venezuela, it was kind of hard, especially having material to study. There was no like illustration schools or any place where I could go to do that. So I have to learn through the internet, buying books and everything. I'm talking about the year 2000, 1999, and there was like no resources. So everything I could find, I would try to copy, to analyze, and try to break it down to try to understand it and practice from that. And because of living in Venezuela, I wanted to show my work to people. And that's where the online community came. Because I wanted to show my work to other people than my friends and my family. So I found different communities, like conceptart.org, which was okay, but not like it wouldn't align to my art style. And I started posting on DeviantArt. And that's how things start rolling, because I got people interested into my artwork. But at the same time, what I will do is to go to other people's artwork and comment and tell things and share. I'll go to the forum. There was like a art share post, and I will post every day. This is my work. And people will post their work, and I will go there to the pages and comment and give us feedback and make friends from that time. So that helped the whole thing to start rolling, because I just wanted people to see my work. I was not like looking for a job or anything, but because of that, people started getting interested into getting a commission and draw this and that. And I was like, all right, let's do this. You know, I'll try my best and let's see how it goes, you know? So that's kind of like how I show my work to the world, just trying to like show it to everybody I could. Mm-hmm. To get some feedback and to get some reactions to measure it, because I didn't have any art teacher that would tell me how to do things or go study anatomy or go and do the things that will help you to improve your work. I was mostly on my own and trying to figure out things, which was a big struggle, like especially like drawing figures, and you have a lot of trouble figuring out how to draw those. And because of that, that's one of the reasons I have a YouTube channel where I have tutorials and I teach people how to get over those struggles that I had, because it took me a long time. So I just want to make a video, people to understand this, and that's it, just to show what it is. And I don't consider myself a YouTuber with like episodes or things. I'm more like, have this content. This is what you need to improve your art, and I hope it helps you, you know?
Yeah, I think that's really important to do. I think it's really cool that you're kind of paying it forward.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it has been a journey. I had to travel to many other countries. I left Venezuela to live in London, to study English, to, you know, to see the world, because I knew the art community was the world. It was not a country or a specific place that you have to be. I was like, okay, I'm gonna get out of this bubble of this country and I'm gonna go outside. And also it helped me that the condition of my country was like getting into a weird dictatorship problem. So I was like, okay, this also can help me to like push myself and get out of here and go to other places and you know, have a struggle, you know. Have a struggle. I think it's important to get off your comfort zone and go and explore. And many people talk about, oh, I wanna travel someday, I wanna go to Japan or whatever. But maybe you need to a little bit of a push, and that was my push to go out and do a lot of like on, you know, my work and try to get some money to pay the rent, like, you know, survive basically. Mm-hmm. And that's where DeviantArt came. Like a lot of commissions start rolling. I post my work in DeviantArt and increased like really, 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 really fast. And I think because my style was a mixture of anime, comics, and a little bit of European style that helped me to have an appealing side to my work. Nowadays, it's very common. You get all kinds of styles. But in the early 2000s, people were like accepting manga, anime. There was a strong comic book scene. And there were like very defined styles that people would like put you in that place. Oh, you draw anime, manga, or you draw comics, or European style, or what is it? You know. But now it's everything. Everything is mixed. So that was like one of my, I think, my strong points that helped me. Also drawing like female pinups helped me too. And I mean, when you get a job, you got to keep drawing. And fortunately enough, it has been evolving like pretty big. And people have been following my journey from DeviantArt and from all this time. Every time I go to conventions, they tell me, oh man, so awesome. Like I know about your work on DeviantArt, on YouTube, on everything many, many years ago. And I finally get to see people's faces like, so you are that person who was commenting from 10 years, you know, 10 years ago, you were commenting on my pictures and now you're here. And now I have that payoff. Like I'm here in the United States. I've been here for almost 6-7 years and get to go to conventions and I meet all the people who are there. And it's super cool. Because many artists work they work in the house, they work online only, you barely see their faces, you don't know who they are. So I was one of those because of all my traveling and living in different countries and all that. And so when going to conventions and meeting all these people, that's like, I guess, the most rewarding part of it. And also getting the support of people buying the things and liking what I do. And also people who have seen my YouTube videos, they are super happy because they're improving and they're like super helpful and I help them when they come to my table. So it's like a very, very giving thing that is pretty nice, you know, apart from like, oh, I have done these things and I'm working on this. I really like to be able to connect with people because, as I said before, I was on my own just doing these things in my bed, my studio, my bed, you know, it's like in my room, bedroom, basically. So, yeah.
Well, excellent. So one thing that I'd really like to talk to you about, because you've built such a successful brand and an identity as an artist, is how the different steps that you went through to do that. So kind of taking a look at each segment of time and how maybe the goals that you set for yourself about building your brand or building your business changed throughout each of those steps.
Sure. I graduated as a graphic designer. mm-hmm. Back in 2003, and one of the projects was to create your website. And I already had a website like 2 years before that, because I knew it was pretty important to have your presence online, not only as a community, but have like a spot where people would go. And it was like my experiment, have your website and put your work so people can see it. And that was like the main point, to have a website ready for that time. And as I was going to all the communities and being really like involved with all the people, the artists, I started like tackling like going to the new services like YouTube. Back in 2008, I opened my account, maybe a little bit late, but it was just to have fun. But every time I could find like a platform, I will try to move to that one and try to spread there a little by little. Sometimes I'm late to the game because I'm not like sure about it. Like, for example, Twitter took me like a while to get into it. I didn't know why I should be there. Sometimes you feel don't have something important to say because you're just drawing. But I think it's a process of adapting and reaching and keeping many things like running at the same time. Nowadays, it's a completely different game. There's so many people who are like amazing artists. They have a show, they have a podcast, they have clothing, like brands, they have many things. So now it's a mixture of like being a brand and also having your work and create that essence of that. It's not only the work, because there's so many cool artists, but also people want to know who is that person, and maybe if they're fun enough, they can relate more. And that's one of the reasons that I have my Twitch streams. Mm-hmm. And I need to stream more often. But when I do, I try to be as fun as possible to engage with people and teach whatever I can and make a lot of funny voices and accents and things and talking Japanese and you know, connect with them, because they people will feel that they see me drawing something, but they were like, I was there when you were painting these things. So I get that comment a lot. I was there when you did this, whatever. And I was like, oh yeah, thank you, man. Like, thank you for the advice. And sometimes you don't realize, but maybe a certain comment that you might say will resonate really strong into like the other people who are listening to you. So sometimes you have to be careful. But gladly, I've been like really kind. So it's cool. Like, I get people really like happy about whatever I say, which was, for me, was a silly thing. It's just like, oh yeah, just keep drawing this and that and do that. That's it. And they're like, oh man, I did that. It was amazing. Now I'm doing all this stuff. Like, cool. So keep going, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I think that you hit a really important part there of art being outside of the art now a little bit, where it is about the personalities. Mm-hmm. So as you've been able to do more cons recently, how has that kind of impacted your relationship with people?
Yeah, it has been awesome. People like to collect the artwork. And you get to meet some personalities there. You get some really cool persons, you get some strange people. It's like a little, but it's good because you are kind of forced to be there and push yourself to be like more receptive and talk to people. How's your commission going? Do you like this? What do you think about this? And that's something that as an artist you don't get to do all the time. You're not talking all the time, you're just drawing and painting. So the conventions help me to do that. And yeah, especially meeting people. Like, I have a lot of conventions here in California, but I like to go to Chicago and also in New York. I have a lot of people in New York. So I like to balance those things and like to like cover certain areas so I can get the chance to meet them, and they get to see me and they collect whatever I have, and I get to see them again. And the cool thing about this actually is like I make friends that last for like many, many years, you know? And the cool thing is that I've met people in the conventions. They're like, oh man, I like your work. It's like, dude, your work is 10,000 better than mine. You're kicking ass, but thank you, but let's talk, let's be friends, you know? Like, and then you get that that tool there that you can actually relay and make friends from that. So when I was traveling around Europe, one thing I would do was just to post on Facebook or whatever, just to write, I'm going to be in Rome this weekend, like if anybody wants to hang out. So some people will come, and I made friends in Florence and a lot of cities in Spain. And so it was pretty cool to have that. So I have like a lot of people have met friends in so many countries. And nowadays, more likely, more in Japan than other places. But
it's such a cool time that we live in. We talk about like both, you know, being kind of in the internet in the early days, if you will, of like the early 2000s when it was first kind of finding those communities. And now it's everywhere you go is a community.
Yeah.
And it's so much more accessible to really have those relationships and that sort of community in a physical space because of the digital one.
Yeah, no, it's really cool to have that community that can support you. But also it could be hard. I've heard things that from other artists or people who are like learning how to draw that it could be a struggle to show their work nowadays because there's so much information and so many people posting work and drawings and things that people get discouraged to keep going because maybe they didn't get enough likes or whatever. But it's like also it makes a lot of pressure for also like professional artists to keep doing something new all the time, to feed the machine that you have to put artwork all the time, and your work just go there like in 2 hours it's gone, nobody saw it, like you put like 3 days working, and there's like a like pressure that you have there, and then you have to look back and maybe like relax a little bit and, you know, take it as your own journey and have fun with it. But if you have a good community, it's good. But also some communities can be a little bit toxic, might put you down. So it depends on what kind of people are you like being involved. Because the community might be there, but might be a community that is not actually trying to help you the most. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's like everything, two sides.
How would you recommend someone to deal if they find themselves in like a toxic community or dealing with just negative comments in general? Because social media is so difficult in that front where anyone could say anything fairly anonymously.
Yeah, it's actually pretty hard. I have the luck that I'm so lucky that I haven't had any troubles like that. Maybe like once or twice, even though because my content is like a lot of like pin-ups and sexy girls and everything. And I get comments from, it's rare that I got the comments. So I got like somebody telling me, oh, you draw these sexy girls. Yeah, you're like making like a sexual object, whatever. And I'm like, no, like all the female fans that comes to me and get my work, they are super happy because they feel empowered because they are strong women. They feel confident in their skin and they're doing whatever they want and they're superheroes. So I don't get that side. But if you are starting and you get those comments, it can lead you to a really like bad place. And I know younger artists that they get affected by comments from people that are toxic. They just want to like, you know, like say, oh, that's good. That's good. The thing you're doing there, like passive aggressive comments that are not helpful. And it can actually like be really damaging to younger artists. But how to escape that is so hard. I don't know. I don't have like a special trick about it. But you should be like mentally like open to receive, to filter, get the good comments and get the comments that are useful and try to ignore the rest. But also read the comments that are not the ones you want to read, but maybe there's something behind there that is a common thing that is being repeated that might help you. Like I used to get back in 2005, some people say, oh, you're drawing the face very similar to these other characters that they really look the same. So I'm like, I'm trying my best, you know? But that was in my mind for many years and I was not heard about it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to practice. I'm going to try different styles and I'm going to do like cartoony style, realistic style. I'm going to practice. I'm going to learn. I'm going to try to change this. And it helped me to change it, you know? And it was like, people would say, well, that's a negative comment, you know? That you always draw the same thing. But that's, for me, it was like, okay, you want to see other things? I'm going to draw other things. I'm going to draw cars, superheroes, like pets. I like to do cartooning, like a lot of things. So that's the other side that can push you. Try to filter that. And yeah, try to be like mature and try to like ignore those people. It's hard to do it. It's easy to say it, but to like actually filter and say like, you know, I don't want any more of these comments or the things that you're saying are not helping me. To reach that point, you have to probably go through a few people that are going to try to put you down. But the things that I said to people is that as long as you're drawing, as you're taking that pencil and you're actually drawing something on paper, you're doing more than like so many people. Anybody can just type like, oh, I don't like your work, blah, blah. Are you actually drawing something? Are you actually drawing? That's the best way to show me that you know the things, you know? Like, it's hard. So, like, just by drawing that, just practicing like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 hours, 5 hours, you are putting the time that somebody else is not doing it. And you are creating something that comes from you. It's from your hand and you're like drawing, painting and expressing yourself. And probably you don't you want to like just have fun and don't worry too much about what other people might say or might think. Like a lot of people tell me about sketchbooks that I don't want to show you my sketchbook. It's like it has so many ugly things. Like yeah, like mine has like 10,000 ugly things that they are really bad. But that's the thing. That's that you have to get rid of those. It's like when you go to the gym and you do the first reps, you're like, I want to go back home and sleep. Like, okay, cool. But do a few more and you're like, okay, I'm feeling cool. And then you come out and like, oh, now I have a little bit of muscle here.
Yeah, same thing. Art's a muscle.
Yeah. So that would be like, it's like be open-minded and yeah, try to get involved with people that will lift you instead of like bring you down, or people that won't like actually help you to succeed. Try to find people that are in that community. And I created a sketch group in Pasadena because of that. And like, just, you know, let's get together, any kind of style, any kind of drawing, any kind of level, whatever, I don't care. You sit down and let's be friends and let's draw. And if you need my help, I'll help you out. If you don't want help, it's okay, let's just have fun. And people are super happy because you don't have to be like, oh, I did this and I'm going to show you what I just did. It's more like, hey, what do you think about that? Oh, you know, it's a different vibe.
That's amazing. Yeah, something more collaborative and more positive.
Yes.
About the growth versus necessarily a final product.
Yeah, yeah. I like to show my sketches. Like, look at this ugly thing I just drew. And that's going to be my poster. You don't know what it is, but it's going to become something later on.
Mm-hmm.
So that pressure of people like, oh, it has to be really good because people might look at it and just show it. You just show it. Like, unless it's something that you really, I don't know, really bad that you drew. Okay, sometimes you gotta keep it there. But if it's something that is okay that you can show, then feel free to just to show it around, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so let's say an artist has gotten to the point now where they're comfortable showing their work and they're no longer holding it in. What's the next step that they can take in establishing either their style or pursuing a career with art?
Yeah, I guess you have to find what does your followers, fans likes. What do they actually enjoy from your work? Is it the color? Is it the anatomy? Is it the figure? Is it the style? Is you as a person? What are the things that are there that are like moving the machine little by little, right? In my case, I thought it was just only like, oh, I'm drawing pin-ups and people like sexy girls and I'm just going to draw that. But then as I started studying and publishing my studies of anatomy and paintings and oil paintings and 3D, I posted everything online and people were like actually more engaged because of my journey of trying to get better and improve. And they saw that progress of improving and getting better, no? So once you reach that point, you have to try different things, draw things that you like, but also try to create and experiment a lot. That's something that will be like the best advice, is to experiment. Even when I'm drawing, live drawing, I have like inks, I have markers, I have different tools. I would like to try more watercolor. And by mixing all of that, you can start creating something more unique that people might resonate. Sometimes you don't know because you haven't even tried. I know people only work with digital, but what if you use some ink and then you put it in the computer and then you print it out and then you trace it and then you add some colors? So you can find a way to create something that people actually might like. So you're like, oh, actually, I like to do this more than what I was doing before. And then you feel more fulfilled by making that. Also creating like little babies, like having, like in my case, I have some sketchbooks. I collect art books, so I want to put my stuff out. So I make a sketchbook, I'm making stickers, I made some pins, I make some merchandise so people can collect, obviously the prints, but I make all these tiny projects and people really like, especially the stickers. I've been just creating original designs for my stickers and people start collecting them and buying them. And it's like a small space there where I can just create something really cool that I really like, that I would like to put on my sketchbook, and then people will like it too. And I have that space there open for that. And then I do fan art and do other things that for games that I like and things that I might sell and things that I personally like. So it's that, a lot of things to balance for sure. But it's just to be consistent. That's one of the things. Be consistent. Maybe you don't draw it in a while, but try to put something, try to come back. Sometimes you sometimes I disappear for like a week and a half and doing other things, and then I come back and I push it super hard, like sketches, Instagram stories, new YouTube video, Patreon, update DeviantArt, update this. So I put all of that together. But it used to be consistent into that and creating and have fun, and also maybe like do some sports, like be healthy, like exercise, go hike, do something. Like I already passed my 30s, and when I was in my 20s, I was just drawing all the time. I want to be better. I want to draw. And I got fat and my back started hurting, and I started getting like really like it was affecting me. I have to use glasses, and it was going downhill from that side. And many artists that I know are really successful, they have like neck problems, back problems. They have ankle problems. They are not healthy. They're eating bad food. And I'm not saying I don't eat bad food. I eat a lot of bad food too.
Oh, yeah.
But I try to like skate or play frisbee or go hiking, do something different that is just nature, or being with friends doing something different that will actually feed your work. Like sometimes I'm working a lot, 2-3 days doing a piece, and then like, okay, I'm done. I'm tired of being here, and I don't want to go out to sketch. I'm going to go hike to a mountain or walk in the park and just chill. And then when I come back, I have a lot of energy. I want to come back the next day and then just keep going and keep producing art, you know.
I think that you hit like some really good things there about finding that balance too, because there's so much to art that if you force it in a way, you're going to negatively impact what you're doing, because just different parts of the brain and different parts of, you know, the spirit even, you can't necessarily like crank out that creativity on a whim.
Yeah. I say this because I know a few artists are really young, and they are like just working and just drawing, and they're staying in the room for like days and just staying there, and like, man, you're gonna pay the price later on, you know. Like these things will affect you, and that's one of the things that when I was like 26, I was thinking like I want to interview like pro artists just to know how they balance their life. So people that have kids, and how do you balance having kids and being an artist, having inspiration and put the time to do your taxes, all that stuff. Like, you know, like it takes a lot. Like before you were 22, you're like, whatever, I'm just going to draw for like 20 hours here, nobody, nonstop. But now you have to go outside, you have to pay the bills, you have to go around, and you have to socialize. It's like a lot of things to balance. And on top of that, being an artist, it can be like a lot. So my strategy has been being more effective in terms of like finding a style that is easy to do, easy to draw, and fast to create. So I work on a workflow that helps me to create it in a good pace, and then have extra time to do other things, you know. So that's probably was one of the things that drive me to practice more and draw more. Is the faster you become, then you have more time for yourself. So you don't want to probably say, well, I spent like 3 days in something that doesn't mean anything. If it's rubbish that you're painting, then like maybe it's a good rubbish though. But if you're just drawing that, then it's like maybe you want to like take one day and try to learn how to break down in a very simplistic way to make it as effective as possible. So it's not about like, I work really hard. It's like I work really smart. So it took me like 5 hours, and I did it properly, and I'm happy with my result of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. So as artists get to that point where they're making good art now, we talked about a little bit earlier about how much content exists out there.
Yes.
How would you recommend that people get their art seen, or get their art in front of the right eyes?
If you are in the, well, this is the thing I talk about plenty. So I feel like there are two kind of artists. One that is their own brand, their own thing, their own entity. And there's the other artists that want to work in a company in a specific. They want to work in this place, in this company, because that's what they like, because they always want to work there. And they work there. But how can you like balance that? If you work in a company, the company just you know, it's not working anymore. They just decided to change the project. You are out. And where are you going to work, you know? But if you have a platform with people following you, you are there. You have a support system. But at the same time, you want to be part of the other people that are doing all this cool stuff too, you know. So how to do that? So if you are if you want to work in a company and you want to make something for towards that goal, just try to create a portfolio that is made for that company with that style, and try to find what is the next project that company is is going to be doing, which is going to be hard to find out. But if you have a way to get that information, oh, we're going to start working with vampires. So you don't like want to show a bunch of vampires in your portfolio with different styles and how to organize your portfolio and show it, have an online presence and have materials there, maybe like an interview so people find who you are as well. And if you are going to be on your own, doing your own brand and do everything, try to do a lot of collaborations with people. I do collaborations with cosplayers that they want to have like their own brand. So I help them and they help me. So it's like a collaboration, like maybe do it with other artists, or sometimes I bring Japanese artists to Anime Expo or the conventions and I collaborate with them. So it is, it can be a handful, but also if you want to show your work, you can go to conventions, Artist Alley, you show your work, people might walk around, might like it. If you're already doing your art and you're in a good position, what I like to do is not to stay there like, oh, my art is good, I'm doing fine, everything is cool. I actually like to walk around the Artist Alley and see what other artists are doing that are really young, how they're mixing things, and you will find amazing art and you're like, wow, this is so cool, like amazing. And I try to like look at different styles and see what is kind of trending, what people like, because things are changing really, really fast all the time. So that's a good place for me, at least. I like to walk around and talk to people, you know? I don't even say, oh, I'm Rick, I'm doing this. And I'm just like, oh, man, you are some awesome. I'll buy some stickers, I'll put some stuff. I help you out. I don't want to trade anything. It's like, here, have this. Or if they want to do something from me, okay, let's trade something. But then they get to know you and... you know, you show your work, and yeah, I think Artist Alley is a good place to start for people who are not able to go to conventions with it was me like many years ago. I guess it's just show your work online as much as you can, but try to I don't know, try to find like people who are making it and see how they're managing, what is the branding they're using, and not also artists, but try to see like maybe YouTubers, how do they work, how they do manage their schedule, how they do the branding, what kind of collaborations do they do, and maybe try to like bring 10%, 20% of that concept and mix it with another concept that you'll see. So it's mixing ideas and then apply it and see if it fits your budget or your reality, you know?
So one thing that I really like that you talked about there is about collaborating and yes. Working with other people. And mm-hmm. from Artist Alley to what you just said of someone online or working with cosplayers, mm-hmm. What would make someone a good person that you would want to collaborate with? What sort of traits do you look for in that sort of person?
The amount of followers they have. No. But that's one thing. Like, I mean, you want to collaborate in a certain level that you can help each other, right? But also you want to see if that person is actually like a nice person. I have collaborated with some people, I don't want to say who, but they are really dry how they talk to you. And it's like, man, I'm not doing a favor. We're trying to do something together here, so give me some information and let's do this in a fun way, right? Maybe people you like, you know, maybe people you like, you're following and you say, you want to do this, you want to try to do something like that. I try to do collaborations not with like only like not with artists mainly, with other people. Like, so I think cosplayer is a good area because it's like anime, they're doing cosplay, they want to create their own brand. Maybe you want to do that with music. I see artists like collaborating with artists making the albums and they spread the image, their work to other kind of crowd. Because I feel like artists, if you cater to people who like art only, it's gonna be hard because they are following already somebody. But if you can get somebody who likes to collect shoes and you draw something for an album that has some cool shoes and they like that, that's a snowball effect, you know. So those are the things that like I'm looking for if I'm gonna collaborate. Who's gonna be seeing this work? Does he help me to elevate mine and I help them to elevate theirs? So is it like equal, basically?
Yeah, finding that adjacent creative. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. So I'd like to ask you about, is there a piece of work that you've done or a project that you've worked on that was really impactful for you? Like whether one that like you're really proud of or something that really affected you personally?
Obviously, there are many. I think the one, right now, the one I just finished, I just did a Cammy from Street Fighter. And I'm trying to improve my colorings, my compositions, and all that. And I go through like a stage where I'm not happy with it, but when I finish, I'm like, okay, I did it. You know, it's like seeing that printed is like something really rewarding. As for projects that have impacted me a lot, I went to a competition in Japan called Limits, and it's a digital art battle. I have to go there. I have to perform in front of a bunch of people. I have to compete against Japanese artists, Australian artists, American artists too. And it was just a battle where you have to draw in 20 minutes a picture based on two random words selected in the spot. So you have to come up with a storytelling, scene, like story moment. And that was something completely different from any sexy things I would just draw. I was just drawing like cute animals, like hamsters, like heroes and things like that. And that made me think about how can I bring something extra in my work, you know, like more storytelling. Mm-hmm. That I feel like that will be more engaging. But also like being able to communicate, because I can speak Japanese, so I was able to communicate with all the Japanese artists and get to know how's their world, you know, how's being an illustrator in Japan, how does it work for them? Is it good? Is it hard? What it is? And from that, make friends. I made a bunch of friends from that contest. I went this year and last year, and that will be like a project that really make me like go to like Japan and maybe go to this stage and perform and prepare myself. And it was really intense. So that will be really something that changed my life in the last 2 years.
I always love when you get kind of those random prompts to get you started on something.
Yeah.
It's a completely different mindset than sitting down and kind of knowing what you're going to tackle.
Yeah, especially what I'm going to draw. Like they just pick the words and like 3, 2, 1, go. And you're like... you know, yeah. You have like this
20 minutes.
Yeah, and then you have the lights and you have people talking like, oh, he's doing this, he's doing that, and people like cheering, and then you have like online votes and you can see how is the score against the other player.
You can see it while you're drawing.
Yeah, you see a line. No. It's like you have a red corner and a blue corner, and after the 10-minute mark, the bars start moving red or blue, and then if you see that, then...
That sounds terrifying.
It's terrifying. And they're talking, and then there's like a bunch of smoke, and they ask you questions, and you're performing there, and you're trying to surprise them with something. It's not like, oh, this picture is cool. It's more like a picture that you have to evolve in 10 minutes, and in the last 2-3 minutes, you have to change and flip the narrative to bring like something like will like like make people like say, what the hell was that? Like now I get the story.
Yeah.
So you have to think about that progress and timing those. Like it's actually like a strategy to do it.
That's amazing. I feel like we need more pyrotechnics in the podcast.
Yes, like some fire here.
Yeah, I mean,
awesome.
It's audio, so maybe oh my gosh, it's happening right now. It was planned.
Oh my God.
So much fire. that's incredible. I need to watch those now. Like yeah, go back and check them out. So now we've reached the point of the podcast where I'd like to hear about some artists that you really enjoy or that mm-hmm. inspire you.
Okay. I have some classic artists that I like.
Yeah, please.
I like a lot of this Marvel comic artist called Carlos Pacheco. He's from Spain. He was my biggest influence in the early 90s. I like Terada Katsuya. He's amazing. Got to meet him too. Arjem, when the early years of DeviantArt, I was like learning how to draw and he was already kicking ass. So
I think he was born kicking ass.
Yeah, he was already kicking ass. Yeah. So that will be one. Has so many artists. Some of them not many people will know.
That's fine.
Jun Tsukasa or Rain Murata. A lot of like Japanese artists that not many people know because they're really private. And I like French artists that do like anime. I like so many people. It is hard, especially with social media. It's like a lot of people. But I can tell some friends of mine that are really cool. Cynix, he's a YouTuber. Also, Hamed Aldori is another YouTuber, amazing artist. That actually he's a big influence in how he managed to bring his work, his struggles into his work, and how he projects that as a painting. Instead of just creating something that looks cool, it's more like, well, this is what's happening to me. I'm going to make a picture about that. Hmm. And the rest is the whole internet. The whole internet. The whole internet. Yeah, any style. I don't, just because I draw comics or anime or anything like that, I kind of follow that a little bit, but I like to see the old masters or go to museums. And mm-hmm. I have my favorite artist, Degas. You know, I love Degas or Manet or Toulouse-Lautrec and all those, and many, many more. So it's like the
list is too long. It's a tough question to ask.
It is too.
Well, the ones that you've mentioned so far, we'll put links below. So I'll find them all. We'll get all their correct links. But so if you're listening, you can go to the journal and you can find all those links to see all of those people. Where can people find you online?
They can find me on DeviantArt. I have my page there. I have all the social media, basically. You have to just type my name, R-E-I-Q, and you will find me. If you find the Real Institute of like Queensland, it's like it's like an Australian company. That's not the one. Just look for the sexy girls. That will be mine. And then have a YouTube channel. Just type Rake Tutorials, and you will find me there. Instagram, Rake Instagram. Everything is together. I have my own website, too, where I have all the links. So I'm easy to find. So it's up to you. You just have to click.
Well, thank you again so much for joining us. Yeah, it was great having you here. I love getting to talk about everything.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I'm definitely going to try and make my way out to Pasadena one of these weeks.
Yeah, go to the sketch group. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it sounds great. Again, for everyone listening, make sure to like and subscribe. Leave us a review on iTunes. And again, my name is Matt Buchholz. Thank you for joining us. Have a good one.